This is Ali Ciardo, and this is Photo Field Notes, stories and inspiration from professional photographers. My interview today is with Ashley Goodwin out of Oahu, Hawaii. Ashley moved to Oahu with zero bookings, zero weddings booked, zero sessions booked. She ended up shooting 12 weddings, shooting 15 sessions, and booking 19 weddings within the first 7 months there. So she's going to talk a little bit about her marketing and that hustle that made it work in a new place, which I know is interesting to a lot of people, marketing in general and also transitioning. If you're listening to this in iTunes, I highly encourage you to go to photofieldnotes.com to check out Ashley's photos, more information, photographer resources, and of course, show notes. And with that, let's get into the interview. This is Ali Ciardo, and today I'm talking with Ashley Goodwin out of Oahu, Hawaii, where I, at least in the winter, wish I lived. So Ashley, tell me your story. How did you get started in photography, and how did you grow your business to what it is today?
So I think that I'm probably very similar to most photographers or artists who say, I started in high school and I've always had a camera, because that is the truth. And it actually is very interesting. It was in high school that one of my best friend's mothers said, hey, let's take the girls to Hawaii for a semester. And everyone was like, what? You're taking semester off of high school, and it was awesome, and we did.
So where were you living then? Where did you go to high school?
Oh, in Virginia.
Okay, totally not Hawaii.
Totally not Hawaii at all. And actually, we were supposed to be in Hawaii for 3 months, and then some family things came up with her family. So we actually were here for, I think it was a month total, which is awesome.
But you went with a friend to Hawaii? So your parents were like, yeah, definitely do that.
My parents were like, take her. Take her wherever. Yeah. So my friend's mom just is very cultured and I guess decided that we needed to see the world. And even if that was Hawaii and Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, which is two. Oh, and we also went to Manhattan for a week. We kind of worked something out with our high school where they let us do the one like course that we needed all year, which was English. And they let us do it via email before online studying really happened, because I guess this was in 2002, and we came to Hawaii, and my mom gave me a camera that was her boyfriend's, and it was a Canon A1E, I think, with a 50 millimeter lens on it, shot film, and I came to Hawaii and was taking a million pictures, and I'd always been the girl who always had her camera in high school, you know, taking pictures, a disposable camera, always up in the 1 hour developing place, like 45 minutes later, are you done with my pictures? So when we came to Hawaii, I took a lot of photos and I cried when we left, and I swore that I would go to UH, which is University of Hawaii, to go to college. I did not, but I always swore that I would come back, and I was so sad to leave Hawaii, and I had these beautiful photos of rainbows and the ocean, to like cherish with me. And then fast forward, after high school, I went to college for interior design and got my bachelor's in interior design. And throughout college, I was, again, always taking pictures. It was actually when I came back from Hawaii, my mom gave me a Canon Rebel, which also shot 35 millimeter film. And I was like, wait, you couldn't have given me this before the trip? Because I knew that she actually had it, because it was a Christmas present that she had buried in the closet.
She had it for you.
She had it for me before I went to Hawaii. She knew that I would want to take pictures, but she waited until after Christmas. So that was kind of my first, like, my camera. And I took a ton of photos with that, kept it throughout most of college, and was doing interior design for my degree. And then an opportunity for an internship came up. And I was kind of looking around. I did an interior design internship and loved it. But I was actually out taking photos at my apartment complex at this time in Charlotte, North Carolina, because that's where I was going to school. And my mail lady noticed me taking photos and said, you're always out here taking pictures. And she said, there is this newspaper, Creative Loafing, which is an arts and entertainment, like, liberal paper. They are looking for interns. You should call them up. So I said, oh, I don't know. I'm not a photographer, but that sounds fun. Like, I could get college credits. So I called them up and I met with one of the editors, who later became a great friend, Kim Lawson. And They started letting me intern taking photos for a newspaper when I didn't know what I was doing at all.
So it all started with your mail lady telling you to get this internship.
Correct. And so I kind of took photos of everything. I would go to the club and they would want photos at the club. They would want headshots of different restaurateurs that were opening that they were profiling. They would want food photos. That was actually probably my favorite because I'd always pretend like I didn't want to try the food. And after I took the photo, they'd be like, here, try the food. And I'd be like, no, no, no. And I had a rule. I would resist twice. And then if they did it a third time and try to get me to take it home, I'd be like, okay, fine. I secretly want the food the whole time. So I was taking all these photos of all these different things. And then eventually Creative Loafing hired me on as a freelance photographer. And at this point, I'm shooting digital.
Were you still a student at this point, or was this after you had graduated?
I was still a student. I think I was a senior in college when they hired me freelance. And then outside of college, I was still freelancing. So I freelanced for them for probably about 3 years, which was a really incredible opportunity. I mean, I got some like covers on the paper, which is like a huge deal. And that really taught me a lot about photography and valuing my work. And commercial photography and how to interact with clients. And since I was shooting such a broad range of things, it really taught me lighting in different scenarios. And I learned that I liked everything that I was shooting. And, you know, most people tell you to specialize and you can only shoot one thing. And I do agree with that, but I found that I loved photographing everything, which later I realized all of those things happen at a wedding. You get food, you get canage, you get, you know, club photos. So weddings kind of wound up encompassing everything that all things creative and pretty that I love to photograph all happen at a wedding. So it was after really working at Creative Loafing that, you know, in hindsight, I see how that really honed me for my wedding photography career. So I was in college, graduated, still working for the paper, got a job as an interior designer, loved it. I had a lot of creative control, great clients. I was still doing photography. I actually was doing photography as a designer, and I would photograph rooms for my boss. They would be published in different magazines and stuff, and that was cool. But I really was starting to feel a bit taken advantage of as a photographer and not really loving how we were being treated just in that environment. So it really kind of was a push that I needed to go out in business on my own. And during the time as an interior designer, I was still living in Charlotte, North Carolina, and my sister, who Sarah, she happens to be a photographer as well. And we kind of got into it together around the same time. And oddly enough, a lot of my friends, like high school friends and college friends, all became photographers too. And they're still photographers to this day. And I'm just like, wow, that's so funny that we were friends before we were photographers.
Were they interior design? Like they were creative people at heart to start?
They were interior designers, actually. So my friend Ashley Barnett, she went to school for, I think, communications in Virginia. And so I knew her since I was 16. And now she's a photographer. My sister, she went to school for psychology and she's a photographer and does psychology work. My friend Rebecca, who was my friend in high school all along, she is now a wedding photographer and a journalist. And so it was also in college that my like passion and drive to really hone photography kind of was ignited because we were always on Flickr. Especially Rebecca and I. Do you remember Flickr?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was the first platform I was. Wait, so you were all kind of into it in college and you encouraged each other and kind of like.
Correct.
You're bonding over the photography. So, okay, here's a question. When you were learning from these different scenarios, like challenging lighting situations, going into new things, did you have a mentor who was there who was helping you? Or was it this group of friends you all kind of like played around and got to know it? Or were you just kind of like looking online and figuring it out as you went?
So when it came to Creative Loafing, I learned from my friends totally. We would be on the phone all the time talking about different things about business and lighting. But Flickr really taught me so much about photography. truth be told, first it taught me about actions and what an action is and how to completely change your photo with a Photoshop action. And then eventually, I mean, truthfully, I didn't technically get good at photography until well after my Flickr days. Probably relied heavily on Photoshop way too much, which is a regret. And one thing that I tell people now is, you know, really get great at your camera before you even worry about editing your photos. But yeah, I really learned a lot from Flickr, and I just started to develop photo crushes, you know, on different people with different people, and learning about things and different cameras and lenses. And of course, that's when I bought my first like 50 millimeter lens that just changed my world. And yeah, I'm really, really grateful for all those friends that are still photographers, because we still really help each other out a lot. And it's so crazy to see each other grow.
So they're all over the place now, and you just kind of keep in touch. And like, do you still chat regularly? And you're like, hey, I have this problem. Or like, what are you doing? Oh, this is a creative idea. Have you tried this? And so forth.
For sure. My sister and I still talk about photography stuff all the time. It's kind of ridiculous. She and I actually wound up going into business together as wedding photographers during my interior design days, and then a little bit after my interior design days. So she lived in Virginia and still does. And I was living in North Carolina, and I was doing interior design. And then we decided we wanted to do some weddings. And well, backtrack. We didn't decide that we really wanted to do some weddings. I had a friend, like everyone.
I was going to say, that's how it starts, right?
Yeah. He said, hey, do you want to shoot my wedding? And, you know, you're always taking pictures. You work for this newspaper. And I was like, no, you're crazy. And then he begged me and said, you know, you're always going to be taking pictures there at the reception anyway. Might as well get paid to do it. And I was like, that's a good point, but no. And then he said, I'll pay you $800. And I was like, deal. I'm there. So I took his wedding photos. I went in like, you know, super confident. And then I didn't have a plan. I had never shot a wedding.
And your sister came with you for this one?
No, my sister didn't come to this one.
Oh, okay.
So this was in my interior design days, but my sister hadn't come yet. But she was kind of doing photography on her own at this time too. And then afterwards, I gave them the photos, and I remember watching them with their friends showing the pictures, like in a slideshow on my old like janky laptop. And they were just like, wow, these are so amazing. Everyone was blown away. And I was like, oh, maybe I can do this. Maybe this is a thing, you know, because I did enjoy it. And he was right. I was going to be taking pictures anyway. So that's when it kind of, the spark ignited in me. And then eventually my sister, I think, had done a wedding or two on her own. And then we started watching Creative Live together. And there was probably a week solid where we watched Jasmine Starr, like her very first Creative Live. And I would be up all night in this pitch dark room just watching and learning about weddings. And then my sister Sarah and I were like, okay, I think we can do this. And so she actually wound up booking majority of the weddings. And I just truly caught under her coattails and went with her. And we called it Goodwin Girls.
And so where was she finding these weddings? Were these strangers, friends, referrals?
Friends, and then referrals. So a lot were her friends or my friends from high school. And then that just kind of snowballed after that. So we spent about a year or maybe a wedding season doing several weddings together, probably about six. And then it was during that time that my now fiance, then fiance, Marshall, got stationed in Hawaii. And so we knew in a year from now, you know, we're going to be in Hawaii. What are we going to do? So I had to have a talk with my sister, and I was like, hey, so obviously we can't really do weddings when I'm in Hawaii and you're in North Carolina. How are we going to do this? So we decided that we were going to continue to do weddings, but separately, and kind of build our own businesses in that direction. And so, yeah, so then that's when I had to really start from scratch, like in that moment, because I've truly been relying on her a lot. Like, we would talk business and collaborate on things, but, you know, I really was looking for her for referrals and her to book weddings. And then it was like, all right, here we go. Now I'm doing this on my own. You know I love interior design, but I'm not going to do this right now. And I want to have my own business. So we came to Hawaii, and I did a lot of preparation before, none of which really had an impact or could have had an impact. And then when we landed, I just spent a lot of days on the beach crying, wondering how I was going to, you know, do this in a place where I knew no one. And I just said, all right, I gotta make it happen. Like, I want to make it happen. So I really started to hustle and drink, you know, Mai Tais, and somehow the combination of booze and hustle.
So that's the booze and hustle, everyone. You heard it here. That's the key. Okay, so first of all, I have to say, how perfect that he was stationed in Hawaii, though, when you always planned on living in Hawaii.
I know.
And so second of all, obviously you kind of started to get your groove. So first, what did you try before you? Because this is a big thing. A lot of people have a lot of questions about relocating. I did it. I started in Chicago. I started marketing in Michigan. But in that case, I could drive from Chicago to Michigan to start building my clientele, start shooting weddings. I could drive back to Chicago to shoot weddings that I was still getting. You could, I mean, I suppose you may have flown back here and there, but really, it's not like you're just hopping in a car any given weekend. You have to, you're in a whole separate place. So how, once you got those Mai Tais going, how did it go from there?
So it was never a set and clear plan. I just had a couple things and I said, I'm going to try doing this and see what works and what doesn't. And then what works, I'm going to run with it. What doesn't, I'm going to throw out the window. Thankfully, most things worked. Before I moved, I spent hours on my computer researching people and trying to build my brand via a Pinterest board. And that really didn't happen until we were here. Because again, I was starting over. Most people already have a brand, but I was genuinely starting from
scratch. Because you were going from having the Goodwin Girls, which was not the brand anymore, to starting your own Ashley Goodwin brand.
Exactly.
Right.
So when I got here, it was a lot of, okay, I know I want to kind of go in this direction, but I wasn't exactly sure how to really curate it. And then it was laying on the beach one day where I was in this, like, one of my favorite brand of bikinis, and I'm looking at the ocean and just the beauty around me. And I was like, oh, this is it. These are my colors and this is my vibe. And so that was kind of the foundation of starting my brand. And I do believe that my brand is what has propelled me in Oahu and really helped set me apart in finding my type of clientele that I want to work with. So that was really probably the first stepping stone, was who is Ashley? What is my style? What is my vibe? And then going from there. So once I started to develop things that really told the story of who I am and the things that I like, which is all bright and eclectic and feminine and playful colors, then I started to have coffee dates with people. And, you know, everyone always says, oh yeah, meet up with people and, you know, meet creatives in the industry. But I wanted to have business going, but really I wanted friends. Right. So I was like, okay, I want to get things going, but I want to meet with people that eventually I can like call up in the middle of the night and really have a great relationship with. So I met with vendors and creatives that I knew or I hoped that I could do that with. So people were probably meeting with me thinking, oh, I'm meeting another photographer, when really I'm like interviewing you. Can you be my best friend?
Did it work out?
It totally worked out. So thankfully I met a couple of florists and wedding coordinators and then other photographers. So other photographers, both in Hawaii and on the mainland still, like my friends from high school, and then just people in the photography community that, you know, you just know after being on the internet for a long time, they have been a huge driving force in helping to get me business, because I get referrals from photographers on island and off. And then I've gotten referrals from vendors and florists, and then just Instagram. So I really met with people face to face when I got here and built genuine connections and relationships. So that helped to get the ball rolling, because people saw me, saw my style, we clicked, and they're like, hey, you know, I really want to help you out. And then I met other photographers. We were able to share struggles with each other and, you know, help each other, pass along referrals. And then I really built my business online, because I knew that I wanted local clientele, but that also there's a huge destination market that I wanted to tap into. And thankfully, I get about 50-50, a mix of both destination and local weddings, which I love. And so that's been a big part of my business, is really putting the foundation on the internet. Because we're not going to live in Hawaii for forever either, which is such a scary thought. I don't even want to think about it right now. But I know that, you know, eventually I'm going to have to pick this all up and move it somewhere else. So I can't really just localize myself too much.
Yeah. You know? Okay. I want to get into so much here. First of all, I definitely want to come back to the social media aspect and okay. You know, how they're finding you. Like, is it search? Is it social? What you're doing? Quickly. So you said you have people referring you on the mainland. Are you actually flying out for weddings on the mainland, or these are people who are coming to you?
People who are coming to me.
Okay.
So I have flown out, I think maybe two or three times for different weddings. But yeah, most people coming here for both weddings and anniversary shoots on other islands, which is awesome because it only takes like 30 minutes by plane to get to Maui. So that's kind of like the Hawaiian version of a road trip.
Right.
Fly to another island. But yeah, other photographers refer me if they say, oh, you're getting married in Hawaii? Like, you know, call up Ashley.
Nice. Okay. And then quickly going back to your brand, when you were talking about like the brand itself and the colors and, you know, your personality. And I know this is audio, so people can't see behind you that you have these like great colors behind you. It looks like they're painted on. So when it came to kind of like putting that together from the design perspective or putting your website together, you obviously have a design background, but did you seek professional help to get that put together in the way that you wanted?
No, not at all. I probably should have. But it was a lot of very, very, very late nights in the pitch dark, you know, working on my website, which I'm working on a total new overhaul, because one of the things I did was I got my website going and it was very helpful and it really portrayed my style and my brand when I got here. And then thankfully, but kind of to my surprise, things really picked up and took off. And, you know, my website became one of those things where I had kind of pushed it to the side because I was getting clients and I was thankful to get clients. And so I was focusing on customer service. So I need to really kind of go back and give it a good revamp. But no, I did it all myself and taught myself. But I think next time I'll probably get some help.
Nice. Well, you did a great job. Okay. Now going back to the referrals and where clients are coming and, you know, 50-50. So they're coming, they're local clients, they're destination clients. The referral thing, I think it's pretty straightforward. So you've made these great relationships, people are referring, but then you say, okay, so you've built your online presence. So are you actually getting, or social media, are you getting these clients because they're searching for you and you're coming high in your website's coming high in search, or are they like finding you on Instagram or other places, and where are they finding you?
So I don't think that my Google juice is that great, because I don't think people find me via Google. They do find me via Instagram a lot and Pinterest. So I think, I'm guessing people find me via hashtags on Instagram. I do ask them and they're not always straightforward. I don't think brides can always remember all the things that they clicked through to get to you. But Style Me Pretty, the Hawaii page specifically, has been tremendous for me. I mean, I did a shoot probably 2 years ago that people still see and love, and I get referrals from.
And they see it. Do they see it on Pinterest? Like it's getting repinned and it's coming back to you?
No, I think it's on Style Me Pretty.
Oh, they're actually coming directly from Style Me Pretty.
They're coming directly from Style Me Pretty. So Style Me Pretty has their main page, and then they have the different like destination and local pages. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of people say, well, it's not good to be on the local page, but in Hawaii, for me, it's actually been tremendous.
Really good. So what about Pinterest? Is it people who, are you pinning things? Are they liking what your style is that you're pinning? Or are people pinning your images?
People are pinning my images, and I will on occasion go and pin my own images as well.
Okay. And like, are you giving them tags so people can find them when people are looking up like wedding in Hawaii or like wedding at this venue or whatever it might be?
Yes, for sure. Because whenever doing marketing, I'm not a marketing genius, but whenever I do something just as a creative, if I search a particular way, I make a note of that. And then I try to implement that into my business. So for example, I very rarely would do a Google image search. I will search on Pinterest for something. So whatever I'm searching for on Pinterest, I'll stop and be like, oh, wait, I wonder if my brides are doing this too. So then I think about that with Instagram. Instagram I use actually more now, like if I'm planning a trip somewhere, or if I'm going to go to a venue that I've never shot at before, I will use Instagram and I'll search or I'll look at that geotag on Instagram and then see what comes up. And so I can only assume that my brides are probably doing the same thing.
So that's what you do. So you'll post Instagram your pictures from a wedding or from a shoot. And then, and are they, so they're like literally finding that individual picture, or are they then also, are you building a fan base where they're like, oh, maybe I'm not having a wedding yet, but I like your work, so I follow you. And then eventually that leads to somebody.
Yes, I actually think both of that, because I actually get a lot of photographers and other creatives as my clients, which I love. It's also kind of scary too.
When you're finding out.
But I'm really, I'm grateful for that. And then I'll have people say, oh, I love your work. You know, we're not getting married yet. And then I've had people, you know, a year and a half later be like, okay, he finally proposed. Let's do this.
Nice. So they are following and they're keeping up on you. Do you have, when you're posting, do you have any kind of calendar? Are you like, I always post one image from a wedding. Are you like, this one's cool? Because I feel like sometimes I'm a little more ad hoc about this stuff than I should be. Do you have a plan in place? Or are you just like, yeah, this is good and I'll put it up today?
Girl, I wish I had a plan in place. No, I do not. I am pretty specific about my Instagram. I remember hearing Jose Villa say, when it comes to your blog and Instagram, that do not post it if you would not frame it in your own home. And even a picture of someone else, you know, it needs to be a photo that you love and that you're super proud of. So I think about that a lot whenever I post images now. So I'm real particular about stuff. And especially when it comes to my Instagram, I try to post photos that really totally reflect me. And I like for the colors. I mean, I'm just psycho, but I like for the colors to start to jive together. So when you pull up my main profile on Instagram, I want all of it to just like flow and look pretty.
Yeah. All the full page. If you're looking, I do that a lot where I'll look at the full page and like, does this look like I want it to look? So yeah, exactly. So it's like the whole brand. That's their impression of you when they come to it. And exactly. I do look at a lot of people's full page. I like to see everything together, like how their style, what their vibe is. So yeah, that's not a bad thing to think about.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me just a little bit about, so we kind of know, we know where your clients are coming from, generally kind of who they are. Tell me about the experience that you give clients, because you do have a lot who you might not meet. You probably won't meet until they come to Hawaii because it's a destination wedding. So how do you make that experience exceptional for them?
That is a great question, because that's something that I'm always trying to develop and improve upon, because you're right. When you meet someone in person, it's really easy to connect and, you know, to give them little things to, you know, like little take-homes with them. So I try to do that with my clients that are destination and still have the experience be the same and incredible across the board. So when I meet with clients, well, first when they get in touch with me, I send them a lookbook that is a digital online magazine, and it really gives an idea of who I am and what drives me to run my business the way that I do. And that is based on my experience as a bride. And so I really changed a lot about my business after planning our own wedding, because I understand that most people have not planned a wedding before, so they don't really know what to expect. So I just set the record, you know, straight that I'm there to help collaborate however I can. So they get this really pretty lookbook that lays everything out. And I feel like that sets the tone of just, you know, going forward. And then whenever we meet, whether it be in person or via Skype, I do try to meet face to face, because I feel like that really, you know, just helps to get to know each other better and build relationships and connections and sees if you're a good fit. And then when I show up on the wedding day, I really just try to be there for couples. I mean, I'm a photographer and I'm a professional, of course, but I try to be that person that if they need something, or, you know, if they really are just like stressed, that I'm just there for them, you know, because sometimes people don't have that. And you're the one person that's with them all throughout the day. So I really try to make sure that they have a great fun experience as much as I can. And then after the wedding day, I send them like little surprise, tangible items that they're not expecting, so that they have something to treasure and like little heirlooms. So I try to let them know I'm thinking about them throughout the process and that I'm there to help in any way that I can.
Nice. Okay, and random question. So what do you have a season that's like a high season, or is it kind of all year in Hawaii?
It is all year.
Which so is it awesome. Really is consistent, which is nice, because again, here in Michigan, you definitely are not shooting as many weddings in January as you are in like September, you know, August, July, whatever month. All right. I warned you about this question. You may or may not have an answer. Most of us do. I've been really loving people telling about like a big mistake that they made. It could be a specific mistake that you made at a wedding, or just a mistake you made in your business, things you would change if you went back. Can you think of a fun story, or maybe fun looking back, maybe not so fun in the moment, of something that you've done where you're just like, oh no.
I probably have a lot of those. I do, actually. But the biggest thing that I still look back at and regret is being held back. This is real general, but being held back by fear with a lot of things with my business. For example, like a year before we moved to Hawaii, I knew that I wanted to shoot film. I just knew it. I looked at everyone's, you know, stuff where they shot film, and that is what really spoke to me. But I also knew that I was moving to a new place, and I had really just gotten the hang of my digital camera, and I was just afraid to take that leap and to learn something new. So I continued on with digital until it really just nagged at me, where I said, no, I gotta shoot film. And I look back and I'm really regretful that I didn't follow my heart sooner and start shooting it sooner, because I feel like you know, it was a little bit of a setback starting later than I knew, you know, that I wanted to do this. But I've really probably let fear in the past hold me back from doing things that I knew I wanted to do, but I was unsure how to, or maybe was unsure what people would think. And I'll still do that now, but not so much as I used to.
Yeah. So. Sometimes I think the biggest step in getting something done is just doing it. It's just telling yourself you can do it. So how much film are you shooting now? You're mixing it with digital?
Yes, but I shoot about 85% of a wedding in film. And I only bust out my digital if it's like super dark at the reception and I have to. I don't have to, but you know, if I choose to. And then all sessions are all film.
Okay, so you definitely have made that transition where you're pretty much a film shooter at this point.
Yes, and so I made lots of film mistakes. You know, just like not looking at my settings and going to town and then getting the rolls back and being like, oh, wait, what? Okay, well, here's one. I'll make it fast.
Okay.
I went to Thailand with my husband. I've been to Thailand 4 times now. And I went with my husband, this is horrible, on a once-in-a-lifetime anniversary trip. We stayed at this fabulous resort. We did all these great things. And I had set my camera off prior to be cleaned. And in the process, they had bumped one of my settings. So they took my camera from manual to aperture priority. And this setting is like impossible to move on your own, like to bump. Okay. So I never checked it because it's really hard to move unless you intentionally move it. So I go and I shoot like a week's worth of Thailand photos, like fun photos, mail them off, get the film back. And they are, some of them look great, but half of them are probably like crazy underexposed. And I'm like, oh my God, am I a horrible photographer? What have I done? And turns out I had, you know, bumped the setting, and or they had bumped the setting, and I never bothered to check it. So good news is I'll never make that mistake again.
And at least it wasn't at a wedding, right?
And thank God it wasn't at a wedding.
Yeah, a bummer that it was your personal stuff, but thank goodness no one paid you for that and you had to deal with that. Yeah, exactly. I feel like your first wedding shooting film, transitioning from digital, could be really terrifying. Like, I'd be like, let me just take that again in digital just to make sure. But yeah, no, once you...
That's what I did when I learned I would shoot it in film and then shoot it digital, like, as backup.
That you did. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that I would definitely, that's the thing what would make me the most nervous. So let's wrap up with just, you know, take your experiences, take what you've learned. If you had to kind of pass on a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of advice to other photographers, what would you want to say to them?
Hmm. What don't I want to say? Don't let fear hold you back at all. If you're feeling it, just go for it. But really take the time to get to know yourself and your style, and then put your blinders on once you figure that out, because it's really easy to get wrapped up in all the beauty and all of like the cool creative stuff that all these, you know, people do around us. And it's awesome that we're surrounded by all these fabulous things, but it's easy to get really sidetracked. And so just do you, boo.
Well said. Very good. Oh, thank you, Ashley. This was really fun to hear all your stories.
Thank you. Oh, what a pleasure. I appreciate it.
And of course, we talked a lot about Ashley's Instagram page, but we didn't mention her username. So if you want to follow Ashley on Instagram, her username is agoodwin1, and it's really a beautiful, amazing page, so I highly recommend you do. And if you liked this episode, I would love for you to leave a review in iTunes so others can find it. We'll see you soon.